Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Thank you for joining us. We're interviewing Sam Griffiths, Derby County Women's Manager. Sam, good morning. How are we?
Morning. I'm very good, thank you. Are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Really wanted to catch up with yourself and the ladies and how the season's going. Remarkable turnaround, as I've been looking at your form and keeping a close eye of it. So just really starting the season since January the 1st, incredible. Played six, won six, scored 18, conceded only six. And you compare that to pre-January the 1st, when you had played 10, won four, drawn two, lost four. What's been the turnaround? What's been the big difference?
I think we always knew this season it was probably going to take a little bit of time with obviously the players that we lost last season. We're probably starting from scratch a little bit. New formations, new players playing in different positions. So we didn't have the strongest pre-season. Pre-season was quite worrying, to be honest, with where we were pre-season. So I think we knew we'd probably got to use the first half of the season for us to find our feet, keep working on different things. And I suppose we had a big break over Christmas. I think we played the 4th of December, then didn't play again something like the 15th of January. And then sort of since we came back after that, I think we were quite clear on the games that we'd got and targets that we wanted to hit. And I think the players have just got to grips with a lot of the stuff that we've been working on them with during the first part of the season. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of come together and a few light bulb moments for players, to be honest.
Has there been any sort of players in particular, and obviously you appreciate all the players and the effort they give you, is there any particular players that have sort of really come on leaps and bounds since the break and have really not necessarily surprised you, but given you that extra a bit of percentage or energy that sort of changed the performances in general? Or is it just a team effort?
No, not necessarily. I think it's more of a team effort. I think individually, I don't think they were performing bad before Christmas. I think, like I say, I think it was just more of a togetherness. I think there's certain units within the team that are on a better wavelength now. I think they know what they expect of each other. I think we had some conversations around setting expectations on the pitch and they had to drive that themselves. So I think they got to grips with that a little bit now because we didn't have the most probably confident characters last season. This group weren't probably the most confident characters last season. So they've had to learn some different skill sets on the pitch around leading and like I say, just delivering some of those expectations. So yeah, I think it's probably more of a collective than kind of individual standouts.
So would you say that have you changed or tweaked the formation slightly, or has it just been purely that confidence and that now understanding of what you expect that sort of changed the philosophy within the squad that's made them unbeaten in 2023?
No, we've not changed the formation since the start of the season. It's something that we've stuck to. I think in the past, I've probably tweaked a lot of stuff, whereas this season kind of made my mind up quite early that we were going to kind of stick with it and see sort of how far it got us. And I think that's proved that probably it was a right decision. It's probably just took a little bit longer than we'd have expected for the players to kind of get to grips with it, I suppose. But they are flying with it now. Like I say, they're very clear on roles and responsibilities in possession, out of possession. And no matter where they play, so we have players that play in different positions sometimes. And no matter where we put them, they're just very clear on what's expected from that position.
Just a question as a coach to coach. Do you find that playing on different surfaces throughout the season causes a hindrance in your style of play? Obviously, you play at Mikulova, which is a lovely 4G pitch. Do you find when you go to perhaps some of the smaller clubs in the league who whose facilities aren't as good as yours, do you tend that the girls struggle at first, or are you always confident that the ability gets them through?
Yeah, look, we've got used to playing on 3G, not going to lie. Obviously, with having that at Mikulova, that's something that it suits us, it suits our style. I think we played Huddersfield the other week, and their manager sort of said after, this is like playing on Wembley for them. So we know sort of when we get back, when we go back to playing them, we should have played last week. It'll be a different game. It always is when we play sort of on grass. We lose that ability to move the ball quickly. Some grounds are okay. So like you play Loughborough on grass and it's like playing on 3G anyway. Then there's other teams in the league that don't have the best pitches. But we still try and stick to what we believe is right. There's probably some tweaks that have to be made just because sometimes that the pitch don't allow you to do some of that stuff. But I think it's just something that we've learned that we have to be adaptable. And to be fair, we've not played that many on poor grounds this year.
Okay, so with six games to go in the league and you're sitting fourth in the league comfortably with 32 points, what's your ambitions and goals for the rest of the season? Because obviously six games, that's 18 points. There is obviously opportunity there to go up the league, and looking at the gap between yourselves and Nottingham Forest, who we'll come to shortly, it's still only 8 points. Do you believe you can challenge certainly for the top three, if not the top two?
Look, I think we've not really worried about the league all season. I think this season was very much about for us building a team, building a philosophy, building something that was good foundations that we could kind of build on going forwards. And that's what we've done. Would I have taken being fourth in the league at the start of the season now? Absolutely. I talk about sometimes overachieving this season, but I think that does the girls a little bit of disrespect because they are good enough and they have been good enough to achieve in this league. I just think with the changes and the players that we lost and a lot of stuff kind of behind the scenes, this season was going to be a challenge. So they've done unbelievable this season. And I think for us now, we just want to go on and get as many points as we can between now and the end of the season. I wouldn't say we're overly chasing anything. It's just a personal goal for us, I suppose, is to just try and get as many points and concentrate each game now between now and the end of the season. We've obviously got a hard running coming up with Burnley this weekend, then Forest, then Wolves not so long after. So it's not going to be an easy ride the next few games. Obviously, coming off the back of six games unbeaten, which we want to try and carry on, but we don't want to get too far ahead, starting to put pressure on ourselves because we've not done that all season.
So you mentioned Burnley's the next game, which is on the, it's on the 19th of March. You played them in the first game of the season, if I remember rightly, and unfortunately it was a 3-2 defeat at home. What do you think has changed since that first game to now that will give you the confidence going to a very tough away fixture and coming away with another W?
I think a lot's changed. To be honest, going into that first game of the season, I didn't expect us to compete as well as we did. I knew Burnley were probably going to be one of the favourites to win the league. We were coming off the back of a really poor pre-season. So I think they scored in like the 98th minute to make it 3-2. So we should have come away with a draw that first game of the season. And obviously Burnley are unbeaten. So I think that probably set the tone in terms of, okay, there's probably a bit of a realisation here that if we can keep this group going and really work hard on embedding some principles, they've got half a chance at competing in the league this year. But just some slight tweaks from when we played them at the start of the season, just in terms of some of the spaces and the distances that we've worked towards at the start of the season have probably changed a little bit. Like I say, the girls have had a lot more games to play together and understand each other and work on a lot of the principles that we work on. So I'm looking forward to it. I think Burnley, they're a young team. They're a good football inside. So I think it'll be a good game of football. I think the two teams trying to play the right way. And yeah, we'll see how who comes out on top on Sunday.
So from a very tough away challenge, you then go back home, or the home from home, at Pride Park on the 26th of March against your rivals up the road, Nottingham Forest, who are top of the league at the moment and clearly doing very well. What's your expectations of that game? Do you go in there with a mindset of the environment has some form of say in the actual way the girls are going to play or the ladies are going to play, or do you go in there with exactly the same expectations from the girls going into Pride Park, say from Mickleover? Because obviously it's an environment that we hopefully are going to promote the game and get 2,000 or 3,000 people there, hopefully more if we can really push this. What was your expectations from that game? Will you change your philosophy for it, or will it be exactly the same, Samantha Griffiths, on the morning of that game as it is against Burnley the previous week?
On paper, it should be the same. I don't think there's any hiding that as a manager, players, they'll be nervous. As amazing as it is to play at your big ground, your Pride Parks and things like that, it's not a home ground. It's not the pitch that we're used to playing on, winning on. Spaces, distances, the bigger, like Pride Park's bigger. So tactically, there's a few tweaks that we'll probably think about just because of the size of the pitch. And like I say, look, it's an unbelievable opportunity for players to play at Pride Park when we played Forest earlier on in the season at the City Ground. I think a few of my youngsters really struggled with the occasion, the crowd, everything else. And that's no excuse. We got beat by a better team on the day. But that's something we're conscious of going into this game, that although it, like I say, it is our home ground, there's probably a lot of work that we'll probably need to do with the players in managing emotions, expectations, and everything else, and just try and convince them that it is just another game and to make sure they play the game and not the occasion. But that's easier said than done.
Absolutely. And I get where you're coming from completely. It's a lot of players tend to find, certainly, that the environment around them takes over their mindset. And it's down to really yourself and your coaching staff to make sure that their mindset is based upon the grass or the surface they're playing on and not the stadium around them. Do you think that you're in a better frame of mind and a better structure as a team to face Forest on the 26th than you were when you went away? Do you think there's been a big difference in mindset?
I'd like to think we're probably in the strongest position we have been, obviously coming off the back of 6 wins at the minute. Not sure what's going to happen, obviously, at the weekend, but I certainly think mentally the girls are in a very good place, very positive place. I think there's a good belief around the group, around what they can go on and achieve and do. But yeah, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what the day brings. And if we have any injuries between now and then, we have struggled with injuries. We only carry a small squad. So we've got a couple of players with niggles at the minute that we're trying to manage. So yeah, some things will be taken out of our hands, but we'll certainly go there and give it our best shot.
I'm always the positive, Sam, and I'm thinking if you do get the win at Burnley, which I'm confident you will, and the win against Forest, that's an interesting final four games with a 6-point potential swing with the people above you. And like I said, you've got Wolverhampton to play. So just to confirm, so the ticket prices at Pride Park, I believe they're £3 for adults, £2 for children. And season ticket holders, is that still free for the season ticket holders of Derby County Football Club?
Yeah, so they've gone for the 3-2-1 theme, which is interesting. So it's dead cheap to get down and get down to watch us. As far as I'm aware, yeah, season ticket holders, they're still free. So yeah, it would just be amazing to get. I think Forest got like around 5,000 there at their game. So yeah, it'll be nice to back the girls and get people down and get as many people as possible.
Well, we'll certainly promote it for you on the podcast, and we'll get loads of social media out there for you, so get as many people down there as possible, because it is always a great game against your local rivals. And I know that your team plays some wonderful football, and I've been watching from afar how they're getting on, and clearly there is big improvements every time I see you play. So I think you're doing a wonderful job. And that brings me nice on to the news that we had on the March the 8th, which is the integration with the ladies coming into the main club with Derby County Football Club. On a personal note, I was absolutely thrilled to bits, and we spoke about this at the start of the season and the hopes and the ambitions. What was your sort of part to play in this? Were you heavily involved in the integration, or was it something that came out of the blue for you?
No, it came out of the blue. Obviously, we've been a part of the men now for a couple of seasons in terms of obviously training at Moor Farm and sort of them financially kind of backing us. Obviously, during what happened with the men and going into administration, that obviously had an impact, but that was obviously out of people's hands. That weren't through choice. So I think the idea was that after this kind of slump that we went on a little bit with the support and everything, at some point it was kind of going to go back up. We always knew that at some point they were going to kind of jump back on board and want to support us. It was just a case of what, where and when, I suppose. So for them to kind of do what they've done, I think is a real testament. I think it shows that they are serious about the women's side, but doing it in the right way, at the right speed. They've not just wrote a big check. It's not been overly about money at all. It's more been about the support, if you like, internally, and that's both on the pitch and off the pitch. Being given access to stuff that we didn't have access to before. And like I say, just having better links. And obviously we've got the hub now, which is our own, which is great. We very much feel that when we're down at the ground now, we've got somewhere to go. We don't feel like we're treading on people's toes, or somebody's going to walk in and say like, oh, we've got this booked or whatever. So that's brilliant. And that was really important for me. And I never wanted it to be just about money. I never wanted it to just be like a big check that was written. And it was like, right, off you go and win the league. I believe that's the right way to do it. I think this way will give us time. It'll give us time to grow as a club over the next couple of years. I think what people have to remember when we get compared to your Forest, your Burnleys, your Wolves, the Premier League teams. Well, Burnley probably will be next season, but with massive budgets, with massive backing. At the minute, Derby is still obviously a League One team. So I think the priority is to try and get the men back to where they belong, Championship, longer term, hopefully, in the Premier League, and we want to follow suit with that. So it'll be a slow process, but a very positive process.
Will this sort of change the philosophy of the... there goes my dog, the postman's here. Will this change the professional aspects of the way the women's team is sort of seen and coached? Will they be wanting more time from you and your coaching staff to take this to the next level? Or at the moment, or because I'm sure I read somewhere you've got a new contract, which is fantastic and thoroughly deserved. Will they now be expecting a bit more from Samantha Griffiths in return, or are you still sort of looking to implement the same amount of time and structure, or is that a question that's sort of still to be discussed?
They're not paying me for any more time, put it that way. So, it's still very much. And I don't like using this word, but it is. We're still grassroots, so we still play Tier 3 as classed as a grassroots league. So my commitment to the club will still be what it's always been. It'll be 4 hours, 2 hours Tuesday, 2 hours Thursday. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes off behind the scenes, but in terms of contact time with the players, we're in negotiations with the club at the minute about potentially trying to shift their S&C to a separate night, to a Wednesday night, which will free a little bit more time up for me to have with the players on a Tuesday. So there's talk about that potentially, that we might do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next year, which again, teams in our league have been doing for a long time now. Some are training 4 times a week. So that's probably where we're a little bit behind still. But no, in terms of anybody going full-time, part-time, that's certainly not the case. It's certainly as is. Things will stay the same. Not much will change apart from things like the sports science support, the S&C support, physio, medical, all that sort of thing. We'll all become employees of the club. So previously, I think things like expenses and stuff have been done, whereas now we'll be actual employees of Derby County. So players will sign contracts to the club. Staff will sign contracts to the club. So, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff that's probably been professionalised, if you like. And, yeah, just really, really excited that we've been, just been given that opportunity that if I've got a question, I just pick the phone straight up to HR, or I just pick the phone straight up to Owen, Bradley, as opposed to, I think before there was quite a bit of a chain of command of how to get to the right person, whereas now it's very much now you are a part of us, you speak to who you want, when you want.
Oh, that's brilliant. So on that sort of similar analogy, I was going to sort of talk to you about the coaching and the aspects and how it may change. Are Derby County looking to bring in coaches from the men's side to assist and almost like give you support? Like I have a couple of close family members and friends who work for the club who have been coaching there for a long time. And I know that one in particular was very excited to hear the news that everything was being integrated, and he was looking forward to watching you work. And do you expect there's going to be some interaction with the academy coaches from the men's side and the senior side to help you, or are you still going to stay sort of separate and do your own thing as such?
No, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we're hoping for. We've already sat down with the head of goalkeeping, who's going to support us in recruiting potentially a goalkeeper coach for next season. He wants to very much be a part of the goalkeeper kind of setup and oversee some of that stuff, which is brilliant. In terms of like some of the stuff that the academy staff do, that we've already started, there's already been talk about being invited to CPD events that are going to be run and things like that. So I think there is, going forward, I think there's going to be a lot more closer working relationships with the academy, with potentially the first team. One of my staff have already had a meeting with Ross Burberry, the new head of performance, who's come in with the first team. And he's been unbelievable. Some of the support that he's talked about giving us is on, it's probably on WSL level, to be honest, in terms of some of the sports science support, which is amazing. Little bit out of my remit, so I let Matt, the S&C guy, sort of deal with all that. But it's little things like that that really will make a difference to us moving forwards.
Will that therefore push another application for the Championship, or are you still intending to get to the Championship based on a promotion? Because obviously now you've got this structure in place going forward for next year and all this incredible support. And it's so good to hear how people have embraced this, because I think it's all right having it on paper, saying it, but actually doing it is always been the thing that people look to see. Will there be an application for the Championship now, Sam, or are you hoping to do that on your own merit and win the right to play in that Championship? Because I think, looking at some of the football that you've played recently, and I've looked at the extensive highlights, there's clearly a good balance in the team of youth and experience. It's working very well. You're scoring goals almost for fun. Do you think the team would be ready for a Championship push, or do you think it'd be a need another season in the tier that you're in now before you're really confident to make that move?
I think I've always, if we were going to get to Championship, I want to get there on merit. I don't want to get there through an application. I think it's going to depend on next season what happens. If we keep the current squad, I think we'll have a really good chance of probably adding a couple of additionals. I think that's probably all we're probably missing to give a real push. I think we're probably just a couple short at the minute from where we want to be at. But pre-season's a funny time. Players come, players go. But I'll be doing everything I can as a manager to try and keep hold of the majority of the squad that we've got this year. Because if it's one thing that I've probably not had over the four seasons that I've done this, well, this is my fifth season, is that continuity of players in terms of like the same group to work with. So if you look at your Forests and your Wolves, probably over the last sort of 3-4 years, they've probably kept the same core group. And it's probably why they've had so much success as they've had, because they've kind of built their philosophy, built their playing style, and the players have just got better and better at it. I think obviously last season with losing 8 first team players, that was a massive hit for us. And that's not to say the players that replaced them or stepped into their shoes weren't as good as them. It was just we kind of had to start again, as opposed to continuing kind of the good run. So hopefully, again, we'll go into next season. I think every season that we've gone into, we've wanted to win the league. We've wanted to finish as high as we can. And next season will be no different.
So sort of looking at the bigger picture, and obviously what this provides is a bigger pathway and a greater pathway for junior players that are playing in the area and currently for Derby County women on both sides of things. Like obviously you've got the community trust who have the pathway and the grassroots. How will this integration benefit all these young girls from, you know, as young as 8 and 9 years old? I currently watch the under 15s when I can, if I'm not refereeing myself. And, you know, I've always had great pride, as you know, in being part of their journey a couple of years ago. How does this change their aspects and ambitions going forward?
I think it just shows that there's an exit route. I think historically, what's probably not helped is we've always kind of had two pathways. We've always had our own academy and we've had the RTC. So I think the plans moving forward in terms of producing this like female talent pathway, that'll be one pathway. So obviously the RTCs are going, and it was just a great time to amalgamate the two. So next season there'll be one pathway. So I'd like to think as a first team manager that I'll have access to the best kids in the local area. If it's one thing the club have been very clear on, it's wanting homegrown talent in playing for the first team. They're not about us going and signing all sorts of players from all over the country and chucking loads of money at them. It's very much around, we want to give you the best kids to give the best opportunity to. So hopefully they'll be able to see a clear pathway to the first team. That's really important. It's really important for me to make sure I've got those relationships with the academy coaches from 8s, 9s, whatever they're going to start at, right through to the 20s. This will only grow. It'll only get stronger. Can't see it getting any sort of going backwards. So I just think at the minute, obviously, we're still in tier 3. I think ideally, to keep your best players and to keep it really attractive, we have to try and get this club in the Championship over the foreseeable, over the next sort of 2 to 3 seasons. It's just an exciting time that's probably going to take a bit of time to get exactly where we want to. But I think that's the important bit, that we do take our time to make sure it's sustainable.
Yeah, you see, what I really like about you and your coaching is that I've seen you down there watching and helping coaching some of the grassroots age groups. And although I've been on another pitch watching and observing other age groups, I've always seen you down there. And I think that's amazing. And I want to put it out there on the podcast that you do back up what you say. You have a great passion and belief in the young girls and the pathway. And I stand up and applaud you for doing that, because a lot of coaches say things but don't actually back what they say. And I know with you personally that you do that. I've watched the junior game for a while now, and one thing I found interesting this year, and I just want your quick opinion on it, the JPL. I've been watching the JPL. Certainly you've got one age group in there at the moment. And the standard of football that I've seen down in Derby, watching the girls play, it's been incredible. And I highly recommend anyone down there to watch it. The standard of girls football, I would say, is probably on par, if not better, at certainly that age group. And there's been a lot of England players that have got involved. Like there's Raise the Bar, who play out of Manchester. We've got a couple of former England players who coach them. And I've watched Huddersfield play, and I've watched Derby play, and Forest. And there's just Lincoln City are involved. it's just an incredible quality league. Do you expect that? Are you a believer that the girls should play in the highest levels to improve? Because I always believe that sometimes success is great, don't get me wrong, and it's nice to win a trophy and it's nice to have a cup. But I think sometimes if you're going to get the best out of these girls, you've got to put them against challenges that will test them to the absolute max. Have you seen the girls' game in general improve, certainly through the JPL and other means?
Yeah, definitely. I think the game's grown hugely. I think it's really important that the youngsters get volume and variety. I'm a big believer in exposing them to different environments, different situations, different challenges, hard challenges, easy challenges. I think it's important that our best players get given an opportunity to thrive in maybe a weaker environment, but then are challenged in a different environment. I think that's important for their development. But in terms of the game as a whole, I think it's just growing at such a rapid rate at the minute. It's scary. I think the challenge for us as a club at the minute is, with the new restructure of our academy teams, is just making sure they are in leagues that will help the kids compete. So I think some of them play in like a mixed league, some play up age groups. So I think the challenge for us as a club next year, and hopefully I'll be a part of this in trying to give some advice and help and support, will be to, how do we make sure these kids, because they're going to be the best of the best kids now. Previously you had the academy and the RTC. Now they're all going to come on trial for that one spot in the 10s, 14s, 18s, whatever it might be. So they're going to be a good group of players that are definitely going to need to be sat in the right environment to challenge them. So that'll be interesting this season. Next season, sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, being involved prior, I've always seen a little bit of rivalry between the two pathways, and there's nothing wrong with a bit of rivalry. I think it's needed. I think the integration has been needed for a while. There's some fantastic coaches both on both sides of it, and hopefully things can come together and for the good of the progression of the girls, because ultimately we want them to feed into your structure and into your team, and that's the ambition for everybody. Do you think that you'll eventually have the opportunity for a hub at Moore Farm for all the academy to be based there, like some games are played there? Like, is there also an ambition for possibly the ladies team to play at Moore Farm some games, or are you going to still be based at Micklover and the girls at the moment are going to be based in their separate hubs until perhaps progression is made, like you said, carefully and slowly, or is there an integration that's wanted to be done quite quickly?
I think it's going to take time. I was in a meeting Monday. I think they've got some different hub sites where different things are going to be going off. Moore Farm, I think, was said as one of them. So I think you will see potentially some of the academy games potentially played there. I don't think there's any need for us to move from Micklover. I think I'm not sure if Moore Farm actually meets kind of grounding criteria and stuff for our level. So I don't think there's any need for us to move from Micklover. It's a brilliant facility. I think girls really see it as home. But yeah, in terms of, I think there's different sites that they're talking about where age groups will train and kind of come together and potentially play. And like I said, I know Moore Farm is potentially going to be a part of that.
Oh, that's amazing. I know that the girls that I watch on a regular basis are really excited. Like, I spoke to a few of their parents who I still stay in touch with and as a former coach. And I always say to people who have been involved in the game, although you don't coach them no more for whatever reason, it's always nice to see them progress, because every coach that they play under will give them a different philosophy, a different idea, and improve them in some way. So I always think change and can be good. Brilliant. Well, that's all the serious stuff out of the way. We thought then, just to end the interview, we're going to have a quick fire 12 questions, Sam, because a lot of people know about you and the amazing stuff you do with the FA and Derby County Women, but I'm not sure a lot of people know a bit more about yourself. So if you don't mind me asking you a quick fire 12 questions, some are fairly poignant, some are just completely daft. So I'm going to go through the list. So are you ready?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay, so your prediction, Premier League champions?
Ooh, Arsenal.
Ooh, WSL champions?
Chelsea.
Oh, Derby County Football Club promotion, yes or no?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Okay, team you supported as a youngster?
Man United.
And you still support Man U, do you?
Support Man United, yeah. I grew up being a massive Beckham fan. So, yeah, that's where my, that's where that comes from.
Just on that then, quickly, the progress that the ladies have done on the Man United side has been nothing short of incredible. Do you get to see them play at all?
I haven't. I've never seen them play live, to be honest. When I was involved in the RTC with Derby years ago, Man United were in our league, and it was always they'd always produce good kids. It was always something that it was a good experience to go and play them. So to be fair, I do think that I know there was a lot of comments around kind of literally having no team and then going straight into like Championship. But I think it was something that was needed. They were producing a lot of good kids at the time for other teams to kind of take. So what a journey they've been on. And he's doing a brilliant job at the minute.
And holding their own in that league, I think it was needed. I agree. When you have a brand which is worldwide known, you might as well take advantage. That sounds wrong way of saying it. Taking advantage of that brand, yeah, and putting in a structure, because it'll only help the game long term. Brilliant, good answer. Right, retro boots. I'm a retro boot fan. I'm not showing my age. So if I said to you, retro boots, Adidas World Cup or Puma King?
Oh, World Cups. I was a Speciale girl. A number of
was
Speciale.
You really?
Yeah.
See, I'm a Puma King fan. I also like that big white tongue on the top and dubbing those. Okay, so you're having a pre-match game cup of tea. What's your biscuit to go to for dunking?
Digestive chocolate.
Chocolate digestives.
Yeah.
Okay. See, mine is a custard cream always. I just find a custard cream.
I can eat them on their own, but not dunked in tea.
Really? Try it, honestly. No. sporting idol growing up, Sam?
Do you know what? It's a really weird one, this one. It was actually David Ginola. Played for Spurs. I remember it was my first shirt, 14 Ginola on the back. I think I was mesmerised by both his feet. Like I couldn't remember many players at that time being that good with both feet. It was always something when I was little, I wanted to make my left foot better. And I was like, can you be that good with both feet? So yeah, I grew up watching a lot of him. My life was all football. So there's nobody that sits probably outside of football in terms of who I looked up to.
That's really interesting. That goes on to the next question. What's been your biggest inspiration in your life and also your football career that you look back on and go, thank you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I've just been really fortunate to be involved in the game for as long as I have. I obviously work full-time for the FA, so I see that as a real like privilege. I never really feel like I go to work. I work in football every day, and it's just something that I really enjoy. It inspires me. I love working with female coaches, the female players. It is something that inspires me to be the best that I can be. I enjoy being a role model. I'd like to think I was a role model, but I enjoy being that role model. And I just think in, don't know, however many years to come, I want people to be able to go, oh, like, I learned that off Sam, or Sam inspired me to do that. Or just probably getting my first full-time job in football, I look back on, and that's probably really give me the grounding and the foundation to build on kind of where I am today.
That's incredible. See, my next question is sort of similar. Now, I've turned to the dark side. I've gone into officiating, and I actually officiate in basketball now rather than football. Okay. Would you ever see yourself going onto the dark side and becoming an official in football, or do you think coaching's your forte? And what's your general opinion on refereeing at the moment? Do you think that it just need a push?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's one of the hardest jobs. Like, and I don't envy anybody that stands in the middle that probably gets the abuse that they do. I watch a lot of grassroots football, and it's probably quite scary at the minute, the amount of youngsters, 13, 14. I've got a 13-year-old boy, and I watched a game a few weeks ago, and he got quite a lot of stick from the side, and he was 14. And I was sat there thinking, my son's like a year younger than you. And like, I don't think I could have controlled myself if I'd had heard fully grown men screaming and shouting that way. So I think there's a lot of work as an FA, we've got a lot of work to do in supporting some of these youngsters coming through. It's great that we get them qualified, but then my question is, how do we then support them? Like, how do we support them on match days? So yeah, I've got nothing but utmost respect for referees. And yeah, there's times on a Sunday where I won't be happy with a decision and things like that. I think that's natural, but I think there's ways that you conduct yourself. I think there's ways that you can approach situations. But certainly in grassroots football, where especially with the little is where we're going, it's not about the winning, it's about the kids getting on the pitch, having a great morning or great afternoon and parents enjoying it. Because all that's going to happen if we keep doing what we're doing to some of the refs, there's just going to be nobody else to ref, and I don't really see many parents stepping forward offering to do it. So I would just say really get behind and support the young referees that are really trying to make a career out of this.
No, I agree. See, what we do in basketball is if I'm officiating a game and there is a tolerance level, but if that tolerance level is exceeded from the side, we actually stop the game. And we don't continue the game until that particular person's ejected from the arena. I do think in grassroots football, and I was involved as a coach 35 seasons, and you have your respect barriers and you have your delegates, but I think it's unfair sometimes that the delegate has been given the responsibility to remove that rowdy person or parent from the pitch. It's very difficult if they're intimidated. And I do think that the clubs and the leagues should take responsibility, definitely. So, yeah, that's a podcast I could do for hours on that subject. But we'll go back to the fun. So, it's film night with your partner. And your choice of film, it's got to be a classic film. What's your go-to film?
Do you know what? I do like a thriller. I did like The Takens are probably one of my favourite films.
The Taken. So would that be your go-to film of choice?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd probably have an argument with my partner around like a rom-com, but no, I'd go Liam Neeson all day, Taken.
That's a good choice. And the nibbles of choice for that film. So what would be the spread on the coffee table in front or in the bowl in your arm?
I'm not a massive sweet fan. So when I go to the pictures, it's not necessarily sweet. I'm a chocolate fan. So any bar of chocolate, or I do love cheese. Not that I would eat cheese and chocolate together, but it'd either be like a cheese and cracker kind of spread or like, yeah, a good old bar of dairy milk.
You see, I'm with you on the cheese board 100%, but you need to have caramelized onion chutney. Do you like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm all over that. Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, and your tipple of choice to complement that wonderful choice of cheese and caramelized onion chutney.
You know what? I don't overly drink. I'm not a massive drinker. So I'm not going to sit here and make something up. It probably is either a cup of tea or... do you know what? I'm drinking a lot of water at the minute. I'm trying to be really healthy. I'm trying to avoid fizzy stuff and everything. So yeah, probably... I do love a latte, but it has to be a good latte. So yeah, I'm probably more of a hot drinker than a cold drinker, to be fair.
That's uncanny because I've got
boring that, isn't it?
It isn't, because I have latte with my cheese boards and people look at me and think you are so boring, but I'm thinking, hang on a minute, it's my go-to. Okay, DC or Marvel?
Neither.
Not into superheroes at all?
Not in superheroes at all, no. Although I have just booked to go to Florida next year to take the little one to, well, say little one, he's going to be 14 and he loves DC and Marvel. So I couldn't even tell you the difference. Sorry.
I think one of them is Batman and his mates. And I think the other one is Spider-Man and his mates. I don't know. So we'll leave that one to one side. Okay. Your favorite go-to motivational quote?
Ooh. That's a good one. Something around the talent one, I think, around talent alone is not enough. Around hard work beats talent.
I've got that.
Talent don't beat hard work.
I've got that on a T-shirt, which I wear all the time. And I was given that T-shirt back in, so many moons ago, I was involved in professional basketball and a coach that I worked under gave me that T-shirt. And I never quite understood it because I thought, well, this is nonsense. But actually, you're absolutely spot on. It's amazing how many kids don't realise that if they just put in that extra 5 or 10 minutes after any training session, or get home from school, go home, do the homework, which is obviously always priority, have the tea, and if the weather's right, just spend 10 minutes out there doing some individual skills. No, you're absolutely spot on. And finally, which I think is the most important question of all of them, you go to McDonald's, other good burger brands are available, you order one of their desserts. Is it a McFlurry or a McFlurry?
McFlurry.
Is that McFlur or McFlur?
McFlurry. McFlurry. Confuse me now.
I had this argument with my children only 2 days ago, and I have this argument. Everyone laughs at me when I say McFlurry. Because apparently,
yeah, no, it's McFlurry.
So, okay, Samantha Griffiths has put me right. From now on, when I go to McDonald's and all the good brands are available, I'll ask for a McFlurry. Samantha Griffiths, thank you so much for this interview. It's been absolutely eye-opening. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll get you back on the show at the end of the season, see how it's all gone, and if you're okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Brilliant. All the best, Sam. Thank you very much.
Thank you.